Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. So John Lennon and Paul McCartney wrote in their 1970s hit song, "When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom." Yeah, let it be. Personally, some of you are much too young to remember that, aren't you? But personally, I've never experienced Mother Mary speaking words of wisdom. But as I go through life, I do find again and again verses of scripture pop into my mind just as I need them. I wonder if that's ever happened to you. You're discouraged and a verse of encouragement pops into your brain, or you're not sure what to do and your mind finds itself mulling over a piece of scripture. Or maybe you're not sure what to pray for someone and you're reminded of a Bible verse, which is just the right thing to pray on that occasion. Is it just chance? Of course not. Of course not. Jesus, at his Last Supper with his friends, says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, just like me." This is John 14. "He will teach you everything and remind you of all that I said to you." God, as the Collect for Bible Sunday, which I've just prayed at the beginning of this sermon, says, has caused the Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning. And then, by his Holy Spirit, God reminds us of passages from the Bible at just the right time to help us and to guide us. Today, we begin our summer sermon series, A Summer in the Word, Bible passages to learn and live by. The ministry team will be exploring some of the passages they found particularly helpful, passages through which God has spoken to them, with the aim that we might mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that they might sink deep into our spirits and become a resource through which God can speak to us as we journey through life. We want to encourage you to engage with these passages, reading them before you come to church, pondering them in the week afterwards. We want to encourage you to write and meditate on your own list of Bible passages through which God's spoken to you. And maybe share these in your home group. If you're a member of a home group, share them in your home group. What Bible passages has God used to speak to you? Encourage one another. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to the mouth." We want this summer to delight in God's word and to allow God to speak to us through it. And so we're going to start our series this morning with two verses from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight." To set some context for these verses, it's always important, isn't it, to understand scripture in its context. If you lift a text, we've said this before, if you lift a text out of its context, you're left with a con. We don't want to be doing that. Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, is the 20th of the 39 books of the Old Testament. It's found in the middle of the wisdom section of the Bible, which includes Job and Psalms and Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon. The book of Proverbs is headed the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. So it originates from around the 10th century before Jesus, 1,000 years or so before Jesus. Proverbs contains some wonderful passages about the nature of wisdom. in which wisdom appears in the guise of a woman who calls to all who would listen and delight in her teaching. She promises knowledge of God, guidance through life, protection from evil. And Proverbs also contains, if you read it, you'll find the many pithy sayings offering practical advice and guidance for living life well. Proverbs 3, 1 to 11, our reading for this morning, teaches a number of ways in which God's people might express their love for him. Verses 1 to 3, keeping the commands of the divinely inspired teacher, God's commands. We might show our love for God by trusting in his leading, 5 to 8, by honouring God with gratitude for his provision, 9 to 10, and by accepting his correction, 11 to 12. And so it's in this context that we come to Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. For me, this passage goes to the heart of who I am as a human being. Descartes famously wrote, "I think, therefore I am." Tesco famously means, "I shop, therefore I am." Only joking, I don't think it actually does. But the Bible tells us different. It tells us God is, therefore I am. God is, therefore I am. From front cover to back, the Bible tells us that we exist because God does. It's he that has made us and not we ourselves. We are his creation for his glory. True meaning in life, true joy, can only be found when we discover and live our part in God's story. To trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding means to accept that you're not your own creation but God's. That there's one who knows you better than you know yourself, who loves you better than you could ever love yourself, who has better plans for your life than you could ever imagine. To trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding means to come to God and say, "Father God, there is so much that I don't know and I don't understand, but I trust that you do. I can't live life well, at least not without you, but I believe that you're good and I believe that you're loving and I believe that you're powerful. Would you lead me? Would you guide me? Would you help me?" And even when I don't get it, when it's hard, or even when I just don't want to, I'll trust you and I'll go your way rather than my own. So what does it look like in practice? What does this trusting in the Lord with all your heart look like in practice? Let's look at Proverbs 3, 1 to 11 and see what it might have to say. Firstly, number one, trusting in the Lord with all your heart means obedience to God's commands, verses 1 to 3. When we're trying to work out the right thing to do, and God has spoken clearly about it, we go with what God has said, not what we might want to do or what might look attractive or just what's easiest, to be honest. Should I sleep with someone to whom I'm not married, with whom I'm not married? Should I get back at the person who's hurt me? Should I fiddle my tax returns? No. God's spoken really clearly, not to spoil our fun or to squash us, but because he knows what's best for us and our families and the wider community. Next time we want to do one thing, but the Bible says something else, let's resolve to do what God says. It's always best, even if it's hard. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Secondly, from Proverbs 3, 1 to 12, trusting in the Lord with all our heart means trusting in God, in his love, in his goodness, and his power. Let me give you an example. When we go through sickness or tough times, do we face them through the lens of Scripture? Do we say that pain and suffering are not part of God's original good plan for humanity, and thank goodness one day all this will be over and I'm going to enjoy heaven forever? Do we say, "But in the meantime, Lord, I choose to believe that you've either willed or allowed me to experience these trials, that there's something for me to learn in them, and that you will bring good out of them"? Do you choose to say, "The Lord Jesus suffered for the love of humanity, and in my suffering, I believe that in some mysterious way, I can share in those sufferings, the sufferings of Christ"? It's not easy to face sufferings and trials in this way. In fact, it's really hard. It goes against our normal human way of thinking. But then are we going to trust in our own understanding? Or are we going to trust in the Lord with all our heart? Thirdly, trusting in the Lord with all our heart means being grateful to God for his material provision. Honour the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of your produce. Verses 9 to 10. If we have a roof over our head, if we have clothes to wear, if we have food to eat, if we have clean water to drink, the opportunity to go to school and to access basic health care, by world standards, we are rich. We have lots to be thankful for. And God expects us to show our gratitude by being generous to others, particularly to the work of his church and particularly in care of the poor. Note, it is with our first fruits that Proverbs says we are to honour God, not with what we have left after we've done everything else. If we want to experience abundance, full barns and bursting vats, then paradoxically we must begin by giving away. Of course, this runs totally against our human logic. But then are we going to trust in the Lord with all our heart? Or are we going to lean on our own understanding? Fourthly and finally, it means that we will accept God's correction. It's so easy, isn't it, to fall into the trap of thinking when things in our lives are hard, God doesn't care, he isn't very nice, he can't do anything to help us. Isn't it God's job to make my life easy and give me everything I want? Yet in Proverbs 3:11-12, we see that God is a loving father who delights in his children, and so like any other loving father, he corrects and disciplines his children, us. Now it takes maturity to accept discipline, to welcome it even, to admit that we might not be perfect, that we might have something to learn. And I fear that many of us just won't be mature enough to accept God's correction and discipline in the way we should. And so we miss out on learning and growing. Welcoming correction and discipline goes against our human instincts. We want to be right. We want to be masters of our own lives and work things out for ourselves. But then are we going to trust in our own understanding? Or are we going to trust in the Lord with all our heart? Now I realise that today I've set before you some hard teaching. I'm trusting that that's what you want from your vicar, not just someone who's going to tickle your ears and make you feel good. I hope. But as I conclude today, let me say this, and this is my final parting shot. God is good. Not just some of the time, all of the time. He's perfectly loving, perfectly powerful. He's the one who made you. He's the one who knows you inside out. And he is the one who has good plans for your life. So who are you going to trust your life to? Yourself or God? Jesus did not come that we might have an easy life. If you thought he did, I'm sorry, you are wrong. But he came to give us eternal life. Life forever as a child of God. The choice is yours. Lean on your own understanding or trust in the Lord with all your heart. Which will you choose? In Jesus' name. Amen.
We stand and affirm our faith as we say together with you. We believe in one God, the Father of the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
So we sit or kneel for our prayers of intercession. Let us pray.
The response to Lord in your mercy is hear our prayer. We pray for your church throughout the world. We pray for Christians that are persecuted for their faith and give thanks that we are able to worship you today free from fear. We thank you for all those who devote their lives to helping people find you, and we give thanks for the worldwide Anglican Communion that was on such public display last weekend during the royal wedding service. We pray that we are able to find refuge in both of this morning's readings that urge us to trust in you and be guided by your Spirit in all that we do. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the Queen and all those in authority, both nationally and locally. We pray that despite the pressures they face, they will be just, honest, and consistent in all they do to serve us. We thank you that you forgive our failings, and we ask you to graciously give us a spirit of love and forgiveness that sees only the good in each other, that bears no grudges, and forgives all grievances. May we learn to forgive even as you have forgiven us, that we may live together in unity. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for all those who suffer, especially that suffer in silence. We pray for all those in physical pain, those who suffer from mental ill health, and those that suffer from loneliness and isolation. We pray for all those that are victims of abuse, and we pray for our local councils, police, and others that work tirelessly to seek out victims and help them. We pray for people who care for the sick, frail people, and older people. We especially pray for child carers who live in our communities and who suffer an extra burden of taking on caring responsibilities at such a young age, often to their own detriment. We pray for the sick from our own community, Trevor Scott, Dulcie Hill, Mandy Frost, David Brown, Robert Hadlow, Stella and Philip Bagley, Betty Abrahams, Mick Sires, Frank and Peggy Fudge. And we pray for those who mourn the loss of loved ones, Ivan Wells, Audrey G, John Bainbridge. Lord, thank you that we are a family in Christ. Help us to share his love and legacy with everyone that we encounter this week. May we lavish Christ's abounding goodness upon our families, friends, and colleagues. Holy Spirit, come and equip us in our workplace, guide us in our school life, and inspire us in our community. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son,
our Saviour, Jesus Christ.
During communion, there is, as always, the opportunity to be prayed for in the side chapel, or to light a candle, if that would be helpful to you, to be anointed with oil, whether it's for you or for someone else. Do go into the side chapel for prayer during communion, if that would be of help to you. We stand now to share the peace. Peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father. Peace from his Son, Jesus Christ, who is our peace. Peace from the Holy Spirit, the life giver. The peace of the triune God be always with you.
And also with you.
We offer one another a sign of God's peace. So we will continue to greet each other at the end of the service when tea and coffee will be served. But we now sing together our offertory hymn, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky. And perhaps as we sing this song and as we come to communion, perhaps this is our opportunity to say to God, God, I do believe you are perfectly good and perfectly loving and perfectly powerful. And I'm not going to trust in my own understanding. I'm going to trust in you and to offer ourselves afresh to God again this morning. So let's sing together as we draw towards communion. 235 words are on the screen. I, the Lord, of sea and sky.